107.7 92.1 The Bull. It's Joe Greenwood on the line with me right now. My friend, brand new friend. He said I'm his new best friend. I'm going to join the Impractical Jokers. It's Murr, James Murray. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, man? You are my new best friend. I'll tell you why. Because the three friends I have suck.
You know, I've noticed that quite a bit. I'm a big fan of the True TV show Impractical Jokers. Now, I got to ask, it's basically just you and your friends just being terrible to each other, right?
I mean, it's been that way since I've been 13 years old. I met these guys when I was a freshman in high school, you know?
Yeah, so tell me, how'd the show come about? I know you got the comedy troupe and all that, but how'd the show come about?
Well, the guys and I are best friends, like I said, for 28 years, 29 years now. Mm-hmm. And we went to an all-boys high school, so there was nothing to do other than just prank each other in school, you know? Mm-hmm. And we just never stopped, basically. And, 8 years ago at this point, We created Impractical Jokers, and True TV bought it, and now here we are, coming to Bloomington.
Okay, now look, you were in the TV industry for a very long time. I guess you're still in the TV industry, but you were listening to show pitches and all this thing. So how did this pitch come about? I can't imagine you being like, look, me and my friends are going to be really mean to each other, and it's going to be great.
Well, I mean, we love each other. I think you can sense that we're best friends. And I think people come to watch us torture each other, but then they stay because they love our camaraderie, you know? Like, we clearly love each other. So, I'd heard, 8-9 years ago that hidden camera shows were coming back and networks were looking for, new twists on the format. So the guys and I said, well, all right, let's create a show that kind of puts our friendship first and shows what we really do and how we really interact with each other. So we came up with the idea of Impractical Jokers, which is like an upside-down prank show where the joke is on us instead of the public. And it takes away the thing that I don't like about prank shows, which is you feel bad for the people getting pranked. But we're the ones getting pranked, so it's fun to watch us squirm, you know? And it's fun to watch our, breaking points and, see what we will and won't do. Because ultimately, not only are we middle-aged men, but our parents watch the show, and we're formed guys, you know? We have Achilles heels, and we have neuroses and things like that. And it's fun to watch your three guys who know everything about me as a result kind of push all my buttons and see how I react to it.
Yeah, and that leads me to my next question. Is you have a fear of heights, so they made you skydive. You have a fear of sharks, so they made you swim with sharks. And the same with Sal and Q and all that stuff. There's been tattoos. There's been piercings. How far is too far?
I think death. It might be too far. You know, the series finale, one of us is going to die. I tell you, we have the Joker's movie comes out in theaters next year. And I won't say who this happened to or what happened, but we did have to take a $15 million life insurance policy out on one of the guys in case things went wrong for something we did in the movie. So,
wow.
There you go. I think that's probably the absolute limit.
No, so is there a board, when you're thinking of punishments, is there a board you guys sit and you're like, okay, we could do that, we could do that? Is there a limit, three out of the four guys have to agree that we're going to do that?
You know, we have a fun way that when something gets too extreme, we're like, I don't know if we can do that to the guy. What we'll do is we'll secretly, let's say we had a punishment against Sal. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a perfect example. So we did this punishment where we broke into Sal's house when he was out of town, and we just messed around with all the stuff. I put my finger in his peanut butter jar and eat right out of his jar with my finger. Joe's laying naked on his couch, things like that, right?
Yeah.
So, but we were like, this might be too far because it's his own personal private home. So what we did was when Sal was in the office, we said, Joe and I were like, Sal, we got a great idea to do against Q. He goes, what? We said, we're going to break into Q's house and mess around with his stuff. And Sal was hysterical laughing, said, this is perfect, let's do it. And then Sal didn't realize that when he said it's okay to do it against Q, that gives us permission to do it against him, and he didn't realize. And we actually did it against him, and he forgot about it. 3 months later, it came back on the TV show, and we're like, well, you agreed to do it against Q. Good enough for Q, good enough for Sal.
And since then, it feels like you guys have been in everyone's home, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think we've been inside Q's house. Now that you say it, we've been inside Joe. Obviously, we gift-wrapped Joe's entire house. We messed around with Sal's house. They tortured me in my home. I think Q has somehow gone without that. So thank you for reminding me. I'm going to take care of that.
Yes, destroy Q's house. You definitely have to. Yeah. Especially after what he did to you, making you wear his hair. That's gross.
Oh, my God. Dude, his hair smelled like pot and whiskey. And it wears a thick trunk.
Did you have to wash it like separately? Did you take it in the shower with you to wash
it? That was the punishment. I could never wash it. Oh. Like you watch episode after episode, it just gets rattier and rattier, you know?
Dude, I don't know how you did it. One of my favorite moments actually is when you guys are in the garden there and there's that guy with the great big orange afro and they make you pull to see if his is real. It looks totally fake and you're pulling it and you're like, mine's not, and you take yours off. Oh my God.
Dude. It was crazy because, you know, they suggest to find the guy in the restaurant who has a toupee on or a wig on or the person.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was a guy or girl. And nobody, you never learn in life how hard to tug someone's hair to pull it off. You know, it's just something you do. So I'm yanking. I don't know how hard they yank. It sounds like a joke. It's not.
True. That was a good one, too. So obviously you have the comedy thing behind you. You've been doing the comedy troupe, the Tenderloins. You've been doing the show. But you also have this other side of you and the science fiction horror thing. You wrote this book that's doing very well. It's called Awakened. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Well, the crazy thing about Awakened is I wrote it 14 years ago, long before Jokers. I spent a year of my life writing this kind of like fast-paced, action-packed, page-turning thriller called Awakened.
Uh-huh.
And
is it better than your movie?
Regular guys, we weren't discovered. We weren't cast. We didn't have an uncle in the business or something like that. We just worked really hard.
Yeah.
The book's the same story. I wrote it 14 years ago. At the end of a year of writing, I sent it out to every publisher in New York, and it got returned to me by all of them unopened. They wouldn't even open the envelope because it was unsolicited, and I didn't have like a manager or an agent or something, right?
Yeah.
It was crazy. Like a whole year of my life was like wasted. 14 years later, I sent the same exact book, Awakened, into HarperCollins, and they bought the trilogy from me, and then we hit number one on the international bestseller list. How cool is that?
Very cool. So tell me the book, Awakened, is better than your movie that you did.
I promise you, it's about 1,000 times better than the movie, you damn.
Yeah, I'm sure
it's terrible. You know, but that was, I was younger. I was more stupid. I don't know what to say. Yeah. But no, Awakened is like the best summer beach reading that you could probably read in November as well. You'll ever have. It's like a tense, taut, there's a monster story. It takes place in the claustrophobic subway tunnels of New York City in this massive underground cavern built under the city. It's scary as hell. This Joker. The cool thing about getting it published 14 years later was now I'm on TV, of course, so I was able to go back into the manuscript and add in lots of secret Easter eggs for Joker fans.
Really?
Like, you know, Joker's references, things like that. Shoot little shout-outs to things we've done on the show that are just slipped in there that for Joker's fans, you'll burst out laughing when you read them.
Tell me the monster's name is Larry.
That's funny. Yeah, it's one monster named Larry under the streets of New York City. It's very cool. It's very exciting. If you want to hear the hook of it, it's in the near future, New York City builds a new subway line called the Z Train, and it's like a super high tech, high speed train. And the inaugural run of the train, on the train itself, is the mayor's wife, like 100 lucky New Yorkers that won the lottery.
Yeah.
Under the East River, they build this gorgeous underwater visitors pavilion. It's like a hub where all the trains meet. In the pavilion is the mayor, the president, press covering the event. When the train rolls into the underwater pavilion, all the passengers, including the mayor's wife, are gone. The cars are covered in blood, and the windows are shattered outward.
Wow.
And you have no idea what happened. And what you come to learn in Awakened is that what's secretly going on underneath New York City is far more terrifying than anything you'd ever imagine. And yes, the monster is Larry.
Now that's a sales pitch. That's a sales pitch. James Murray from Impractical Jokers is our guest. You're coming to town on Thursday. What is that? That's tomorrow. You're going to be here tomorrow. Yeah. So a lot of people say, and I actually was talking to my mother-in-law about you last night. She watches the show and I'm like, I'm talking to Murray tomorrow. She's like, oh, cool. She says, but how are they going to do that on a stage? And I'm like, I'll ask Murray.
Let me tell you, the live show, I like even better than the TV show. It's like spending a night with your best friends who you love from TV. It's a stand-up comedy show. The four of us on our stage at all times. Behind us is a massive, or like three massive screens. And we shot hidden camera challenges just for the live show. You cannot see anywhere else. So the show is like us ripping into each other, telling stories from our lives, from the TV show, from our life experiences together, stand-up comedy. And we kind of seamlessly go into a video, then back into us on stage. And it feels not only like you're hanging out with your best friends, but it's funny as hell. And also, it kind of feels like a rock concert because everybody around you loves the same things you do, you know? So it's like the best rock concert you ever go to. It's as close to a rock star as we'll ever feel.
Okay, well, Sal and, what is it, Sal and Joe, they did have to open for the Imagine Dragons.
They did. How that was early in the show, too, like season two.
Yeah.
Before anybody really even knew it. You know, Imagine Dragons were fans of the show, but those thousands of fans in the crowd didn't know who Joe or Sal were. So that was mortifying.
It's a fantastic show. I absolutely love it. And, you know, I got one question to ask. And this one, you know, if you don't want to answer it, that's cool. It seems like Sal in particular is kind of aggressively dickish towards you. Is there some sort of like turmoil between you two? Is there something in the past?
Aggressively dickish, the Sal Volcano story. No. He's my best friend. I would literally die for him, over Q, over Joe.
Okay.
That being said, I also want to kill him.
Right.
So, you know, we him and I have very different kind of personalities, even though we're best friends.
Sure.
So I think we kind of butt heads more than usual. But, you know, that's what makes us best friends, you know. Sometimes you want to kill your best friends, too.
Sometimes you want to kill them. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So then I got to ask you, before we get off the phone, what is the worst thing? What is the one thing that you're like, man, that was awful, absolutely terrible? Now, we've heard from, I think Sal said his bingo one was the worst, and I don't remember what Joe or Q said, but what is the worst thing they made you do?
Okay, well, I'm going to give you two answers. One I can't really answer, but in the Joker's movie, they did something to me that is 1,000 times more embarrassing than the Winnie Cooper, Danica McKellar punishment on the TV show, which up until that point, up until we filmed the movie, the Danica McKellar one was by far the most embarrassing. And if you don't know what that one is...
Oh, I know that one.
They made me, they stripped me down and greased my body up and told me I had to go compete in like a bodybuilding competition. When I walked into the next room, thinking there was like 100 people and a judges and a crowd, when I walked in, there was no bodybuilding competition. All there was a single chair with Danica McKellar, who played Winnie Cooper on the TV show Wonder Years, looking gorgeous in a gown,
yes,
waiting to be interviewed. And I am naked, except for a little thong Speedo, and I'm spray tanned. And I come in and I have to interview my childhood crush, Danica McKellar. And it was, up until the movie, the most embarrassing moment of my life.
Really? See, that one I totally felt for you, because Winnie, I mean, good Lord, she was just unbelievable, right? But
the crazy thing is, they never told her what was going to happen. She did not know I was going to walk in. She didn't know what I was going to look like. She knew nothing. So she was shocked, and I was shocked. She was a fan of the show, but she had no idea what was going to happen. So every line she says to me is completely improvised. She just riffed. You know, it was so funny, but also I never thought I'd meet my childhood crush in such a way.
Man, the one that I really felt for you for was when they made you do the allergy test and then go do the stripper. That one was, that was too much for me.
Yeah, I had a dance on stage with Thunder Down Under. It's kind of like the Australian Chippendales.
Yeah.
In front of, like, there's like 200 screaming women, and there's me, again, greased up, but with my whole back broken out with histamines. So I had like these giant welts on my back. It looked like I had every STD, every single one.
It did. It really did. The only way that could have been worse is if you were still wearing the Q hair.
Yeah. That might have made it better, at least. That, you know, not only do I have like every STD, but at least I'm not bald.
Right, yeah. Yeah. True. So tell me a little bit, after you film a scene and you prank somebody, a lot of times there's people that are mad. I mean, there was this one massive guy that's chasing you around and that type of thing.
Yep.
But aren't most people a little cool? Do they like, oh, or do some people like, yeah, I knew it was for the show?
It very, well, the show is 100% real. If somebody knows the show, they can't be on the show, because the show needs us to be embarrassed. You know, we need to squirm. And the only way to do that is if everything's real. So the show is 100% real. I would say we rarely get people angry. That's not the goal of the show. The goal of the show is to make each other squirm, and the public is just kind of there to witness our embarrassment and be confused by it. The perfect reaction from somebody is kind of confusion and be like, this guy is strange or odd, you know?
Yeah.
We never try to elicit anger from anybody.
Well, there was the one, I don't remember where you guys were, but this guy started chasing you around, the security guard came involved?
That is the only time in show history it's gone that way. And yeah, you know what it is? I knew the guy was going to pop, because The guy, he's this huge guy, like, yeah, like 2 feet taller than me, about three times the width of me, and he's shopping for jeans. And the guy said, they run down like a size Z bra and say, "Mur, you can't say anything. Go up and hold the bra against the chest because he's roughly the same size as your wife," right? I was like, oh, my God. He's got to pop if I do that.
Yeah.
Especially because they took away my only ability to just use the situation, which is my ability to... They took away my ability to bullshit. There you go. So I go up to him. I hold the bra up. Sure enough, he gets angry. He takes out his cell phone and whacks me in the face, chases me around like an excitable little ferret that I am. That was the only time in show history that it went that way. And I knew it was going to go that way.
Yeah. Man, that had to be terrifying.
It was, because look at me. I have the body of like a baby carrot.
James Murray, Murr from Impractical Jokers, a best-selling author for Awakened, going to be in town at Grossinger Motors Arena tomorrow night with the Impractical Jokers Tour. Tickets still available. We got some tickets to give away. But Murr, thanks for joining the show. Appreciate it so much.
Thanks for having me, man. That was awesome.